This is Big Girl Pants Podcast, episode 36.
Hi! Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned. Okay, y'all, it's episode 36. Welcome back to Big Girl Pants Podcast.
I can't believe it's 36.
I know, I love it. Every single time we announce the number.
Every episode.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
We look at each other and we're like, look what we've made. Look at our baby.
Wonderful? Look at our baby. I mean, it kind of is.
It's getting older.
It is.
It's my midlife baby.
It is. It's our passion project
so
baby.
So funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we are here today with a really cool guest who is a published author. The book is called
He Actually Left, Now What?
Yeah. And this is a friend of April's. So April, I'm going to let you take it from here. Just how you know her.
Jenna Pecor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And first of all, I just want to say, hell yeah. Taking your name back, because that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was time.
Yeah.
It's something I thought about for several months and then I had to get okay with. Yeah. But then once I was okay with it, I was ready. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's time.
It's funny because I went through the same thing. I'm like, do I keep it? Excuse me. Do I keep it? Because my daughter's last name is the same. But then I was like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
Because that's not my name.
No.
It's not my name.
She and I had the exact same conversation because we do travel. Yeah. And I'm like, it's going to make it a lot easier if we just have the same last name on all the travel documents. And, you know, so when I told her that I wanted to change my name, she goes, no, because then you're not going to be in my family anymore.
Oh.
Because how old is she? This is your daughter.
She's 8.
Avery.
And so she has a half brother and sister that's also has the same last name as my ex-husband.
Yeah.
And so, and then her dad and now her stepmom have the same last name. So she's like, if you don't have the same last name, how do you fit into all
this? It is hard for a little one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to explain, no, names are not what make us a family.
Right.
You know? And so we've talked about it.
You're like, the fact that I grew you inside of me.
Right.
And then pushed you out of me.
Right.
I will never not be
And then I have to
mom.
Share my candy when we go to the movies and you always
have. I mean, that's really about
I wake up my bed.
Sleeping on top of me.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
If I even get in there, if she goes to sleep ahead of me and I go in there, I'm like, there's no room
literally
here for me.
And then it's like pushing a bag of concrete, right? Like,
yes.
Trying to move them out of the way so you can get in your bed.
That has tentacles that, like, every time you move it, they just move.
They just
their
like
arms.
Flop around or whatever. So, Jenna is a friend of mine through other friends of mine that I've known for, I mean, I'm 31 now, so I've known these people for at least 12 years, 13 years since I've known Leslie since I was like 19.
And who's Leslie?
Yep. Is her sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Leslie is your sister. Brooke is your sister. Brooke used to cut my hair. Leslie and Brooke are twins and Jenna is the older sibling.
So did Leslie hire you?
No, I worked at The Colony with Brian.
Okay.
When Leslie and Brian were together.
Uh-huh.
And then I worked at GP with Leslie and Brooke before Leslie got the promotion to be like the training manager or
Brooke was, when Brooke was pregnant with Colby?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I was service manager before Leslie. So, and then Brooke was service manager at a different roadhouse. So all of us.
I was going to say,
let's get
the listeners.
It's so convoluted.
I was like, let's give the listeners a frame of reference because they don't have a clue what y'all are talking about.
So Texas Roadhouse is a restaurant that I opened the Colony in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked and been whatever in that world. In that, because it's like a world.
Well, when I turned 18, February 1998 is when the Texas Roadhouse opened in Grand Prairie, and it was the first one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started waiting tables there when I turned 18, and then I got promoted. I was a trainer, and then I was service manager.
Yeah.
So my sister started working there. So then they both became corporate trainers. And then Brooke got promoted and she started running. She ran the one in Bedford.
Okay.
And then Leslie got promoted and she opened a bunch of stores. And then she got, like, after I left, a couple of years after I moved to the Denton store.
Yeah.
And then she started being service manager. So, like, Texas Roadhouse, they're like, if you're in the Pecor family, I guess you can get hired.
Yeah,
you're
a trainer and you can do everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's like how I know her sisters. Okay. But I know you because we went to like the lake house together.
Yep, I remember
all this,
that.
All that stuff. And then I found out when she wrote a book, I was like, oh my gosh, you should totally come on my podcast and talk about it.
Yeah, so let's get to that.
Yeah.
So he actually left.
Now what? Okay. Yeah. And it's...
How long were you married before we...
Okay, so we got married in 2010, and we got divorced 2018. So we were married for 8 years. We were together a year before that. He and I had known each other since we were youth in church. Like, we were 12 whenever we first met each other. We'd known each other for a long time. And then Avery came along. She just turned 8. And then I had 2 stepkids that were a little bit older.
Okay.
So we were together for a while. And then he left unexpectedly in November 2017. So I went through a lot of just... I had no idea what to do. And so I started doing a lot of journaling.
Yeah.
And then when the divorce was actually final, I started looking through all my journals. And I was kind of like, the way that I wrote to myself almost was like an exercise in a book.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of took off with that and just started writing more. And then I was like, maybe I really just need to finish this as a book. Mm-hmm. So I started becoming a part of other Facebook groups that were social groups. And there were so many women that had been left in the way that I was.
Yeah.
That had just basically their lives fell apart before their very eyes. Yeah. And they didn't know what to do. And so I said, you know, I really think that this would help a lot of other people, at least to know that you are not unique in your situation. Right. That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody that I knew had gotten divorced in the way that I had.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I started writing it. I wrote it as a, you are still worth a lot. You're not trash just because, you know, this is what happened. Your husband decided to do. This is his choice.
Doesn't define you.
Absolutely not. And so I write a lot about self-worth. I write about how you can get through it in a positive way. I talk about how you can now parent with, if there was a woman that was a part of your divorce and now she's their stepmother, how do you parent without just wanting to pull your hair out? And
Or theirs.
Or theirs. And then the other thing too is going through the divorce process. You know, from a legal perspective, I interviewed a lot of lawyers and I was just blown away at how their lack of empathy was
so
cold to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, we see this all the time, so what's special about you? And so I kind of write in there, like, what do you expect? What to expect as you're going through this process? Because if you've never been divorced, you don't know.
Right, yeah.
So,
and it's not like it's not like you pick up a book on Saturday morning, you're like, let's read about divorce today.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great topic.
That might happen tomorrow.
Right. You never know.
No. Exactly.
So before you go forward, and I don't want to be too intrusive, but I just want to ask like a little bit of soft questions around like the relationship.
Sure.
I mean, were you guys having problems? Were it just like, were you just like, okay, like, cool, man.
Well, from my perspective, we were having a normal marriage.
Right.
Like I had just.
And you guys have been together for almost a decade.
We did. And yes, we were. And so I was a real estate agent. Yeah. I've been doing that for 5 years. I'd opened 2 businesses. Mm. And then that particular year, when 2017, when he left, I had to close one of the businesses down. It was just, I'd taken a chance. It didn't work out.
Right.
I kind of went through a depression. I wouldn't say that I was like in my bed, not being able to get up, but I definitely gained a bunch of weight. I was kind of feeling like a failure personally.
Yeah.
You know, I had, we had worked so much and to try to build these businesses that we just were spending a lot of time doing a bunch of other things for other people. So I knew that there was something like we just weren't connecting as we used to be. Yeah. And I brought it up and I was like, I feel like, I don't know if it's that we've been married 7 years, maybe it's 7 year itch.
Right.
Like, I don't know what it is, but I tried to have those conversations. And, so what, when he left, because it was his second marriage and we had always discussed we were never going to go through a divorce again.
Right.
You know? So when he went on that trip and then just didn't come home, I was completely and totally shocked.
Yeah.
We taught Sunday school classes together about marriage.
What?
Yeah. So it was kind of one of those things. Man. I was like, are you serious? And then as time went on and the more that I started finding out about the details of, you know, kind of how things had gone that I didn't know.
Uh-huh. Right.
It started making a lot more sense. And so it was, but it was a shock.
Yeah.
It really was.
It blows my mind that an adult man couldn't just say, I'm unhappy. nobody says somebody has to stay in a relationship if they don't want to be there. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is if you're unhappy, let's talk about it.
One thing that I talk about
you
in the book.
You take a Napa. You don't move to Napa.
That, jeez. Movie is that from?
Sex in the City.
That's right.
He's like, I'm just tired. I'm tired of old New York. She's like, well, you take a Napa. You don't move to Napa.
Oh, man. I need to watch that show again. I always go through my every cycle. I'm like, well, I think I want to watch it again.
Dude.
One of the things I talk about in the book is there's a whole chapter on why did he do what he did.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest thing that women get stuck on is how did this happen? How did I not see it?
What could I have done differently?
What could I have done differently and why?
Yeah.
And they will go through beating themselves up on trying to find out why.
Yeah. Right.
And I talk about basically what I get down to is there's two different kinds of people. There's emotionally mature people and there's emotionally immature people.
Yep.
And a lot of us, if there's things that what started becoming really prevalent is that a lot of these men had gotten stuck mentally somewhere where they were still acting like teenagers instead of acting like grown men that were supposed to be fathers and grandfathers, some of them. And it's like they revert back to that teenage part of themselves and they act so immature and they do and say that like, so I started seeing that all of us were sharing. It was like, are they sharing the same brain? Uh-huh. Because they're all saying
it's
the
like
same
a pattern.
Things to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would send us GIFs that were, like, so immature. And I'm like, you're 67 years old. Like, why are you – this is your response? That's how people would
be.
And I was like, that happened to me, too.
Yep.
So that was one of the things I talk about. But I also talk about you can get stuck on the why for the rest of your life.
Right.
But ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because this was the way that he decided to handle things.
Yeah.
And it was a poor decision. But that doesn't have to define your future.
Right. Like,
you're just going to have to accept – that this is what happened.
Right.
So that you can move on. Because I did not want to see some of these women stuck for 20 years.
Yeah.
In the why.
Right.
You know? And I got stuck there for a little while.
Yeah.
I went through therapy. You know, I went to a therapist. I started pretty much immediately, which helped me tremendously.
Yeah.
And the journaling really helped me. And so at the end of the chapters, I put exercises where you can ask yourself the questions and kind of walk through that. Because some women just don't even know where to start to get better.
Right.
They just get stuck.
Yeah.
So...
this happened, April knows this story, to my grandmother. My grandparents were married for a very long time, like 30 years, something like that.
Wow.
I was born, so this was my grandparents.
Right.
And they'd been together since, I think my grandmother was like 15 and they were 16. This was back in like, you know, the 50s or whatever.
Right.
So they
yeah.
got married young and he went off to the military, that whole story. So anyway, long story short, he had an affair and left my grandmother and went and started a whole new family. She, you know, I'm not condoning his behavior. Clearly that was not okay.
Right.
But I will say they're still married. I mean, they've been married a long time. So there was something to that relationship. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say that.
You don't want to discredit.
I don't.
Right.
Because they have a very special thing and I don't want to discredit that. But I do say my grandmother never, ever got past it. She died unhappy. She died bitter. She
mm-hmm.
died still holding resentment
mm-hmm.
towards them. And I'm like, Nana, you got to get past this because you're letting this define your entire being.
There right. comes a certain point when you have to be responsible for the decisions that you make.
That's the point.
Yeah. And if the decision that you've made is to stay, which, listen, I am not a judgmental person when it
sure.
comes to that. And I fully believe that people make mistakes and they do things they shouldn't do. But
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that they're terrible people and terrible humans for the rest of their lives.
Well, and that's not for us to decide
Absolutely
anyway.
Not.
Yeah.
So, but if you are going to stay, then you have to work on why you're staying. I have to own why I'm staying so that I'm not going to sit there and punish these people for the rest of my life because I can't get past it myself.
Yeah.
So, and I talk about that in the book too. I talk about owning your own decisions and there comes a point when you're the victim for a while, but you can't be the victim forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to be responsible for your own happiness. You have to be responsible for your own mental health. You know, I talk about just finding ways to heal yourself inside and not worrying about what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
Worry about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Stay in your own lane, so to speak,
right.
I
yeah.
guess. But yeah, I mean, I commend her for doing that. That's a big person right there. But if you're just going to be miserable, that's
another she didn't stay. She didn't stay. He left and got remarried.
Yeah.
She was just miserable for the next 35 years.
Oh, I thought you said that. Okay.
No,
she
didn't
stay. She doesn't want to discredit his new relationship
Mm-mm.
because there was something there.
I got you.
Yeah, no, she never remarried. She never did anything after that. Like anything. She wouldn't go to church. She wouldn't go. She didn't miss my wedding
when I got married. Or what? She just didn't want to.
Because she was mad.
Was just angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was just angry. Yeah. And I think she was also insecure. She lacked confidence. And of course, when that happened, it really kind of solidified her own fears and angst, because then it validated it, right?
Right.
In her head. So she really missed out on a lot of life, which is really sad.
That is really sad.
Yes. Yeah. And that is, it's funny y'all are hitting on all this stuff. This is the stuff I hear all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's what I put in the book. And I talk about, like, there's a whole chapter on your kids, yeah. right? And what I hear from a lot of women is, when they're not here, I don't know who I am. And there was one woman that I remember on a post said, I don't even know what is my favorite color. Because your identity is so wrapped up in that thing that yeah. you don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And I talk about, if you're spending your weekends without your kids, literally in bed, waiting for the moment that they come home, and you're not finding your own interest, and you're not going out and trying new things.
That's
and you're
on
not,
you.
That is your
That's thing. A choice that right. you are making.
And what you're also doing is making it miserable for everybody else, because when you go out and try new stuff, you have other things to talk about besides just being miserable in your own situation.
I mean, I don't even agree with that. You know, in a stable, normal, happy family, mm-hmm. when women lose themselves Absolutely. In their children, it's like, you have a life too.
Absolutely. So sacrificial.
And those kids, it yes. is. Yeah. I know they think that they're pouring into these children, and like, no, you're losing yourself. And that's, if they're not going to be around forever, and then what are you going to do?
Yeah. We kind of encourage that, though, as a culture. I see it, like, on yeah. Facebook a lot, where it's almost like a mark of...
like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, I'm so busy. I just, I'm running around yeah. doing all this stuff.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I don't even have time to eat a hot meal. Right. And I'm Jeez. Like, your kids are 10 and 15. Like, why are you still eating a hot meal?
You can cook. Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's funny, because that's what a lot of women say to me about, like, working out. They're like, I'm a single mom. I have a full-time job. I am a personal trainer, and I have a podcast, and I have a 4-year-old. Like,
right.
You're A, B, C, D, all the way to Z, right?
Uh-huh.
And I still make time to work out, and they're like, well, I'm just so busy. I'm like, do you have a husband? They're like, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing at 5:00 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, you have to start, and I know that it's like, it's not easy, right? Because I was... there too, right? Mm-hmm. I was married, and I, even though my husband was gone 2 weeks at a time and then would come home for a week, I mean, you know, living situations, right. some people cannot be as contributive as you'd like them to be, but in the same respect, like once
That's
you
nice.
Start, right? 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 PC. Don't worry about it. I got it. But it's like,
That's even, roadhouse training.
Even if, Yeah, all right. Thanks, y'all. But it's, even if, like, that's the situation that you're in, once you start demanding and commanding respect for yourself and showing yourself respect,
mm-hmm.
then other people will start showing the same amount of
so
respect.
It's so easy to use that as an excuse.
Oh,
because
yeah,
at the
sure.
end of the day, it's not about time.
Right.
It's about commitment
yep,
and discipline.
Yeah.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
And it's,
period.
And it's about knowing what you want beyond just today.
Yes.
And a lot of women don't even think about that. Women, men, it's not even a gender thing. It's but women especially, that's my focus.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think past today. They think, what am
that's
I doing
right.
today? What am I doing this weekend? What is the soccer game we have to get to? But they're not thinking, what is my passion? What is something that I can pour into that's just about me for my future?
That's right.
Yes.
And, what does my life look like when I am no longer... a mother raising
right.
children. I mean, you're always a mother, but when I'm no longer raising these children, what do I have then?
Right.
You better start working on that now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's we compartmentalize parts of our lives and don't think of having more than one thing
yeah.
on your plate that
right.
you can do that you're interested in
right.
that has nothing to do with your work.
Right.
You know, your work is your work, your kids are your kids, but
yeah.
what is my passion? What is something that I enjoy?
Yeah.
You know, what is something that I can put myself into and learn about and grow and
yeah.
become educated on and
right.
you know, all that stuff. But they don't think about it because they're too busy being busy.
Well, and I
too
think
busy
too,
being tired.
Women,
you know?
100%.
Women don't honor their own time. And
no.
I think they have a
Mm-mm.
hard time saying the word no and
yep.
and really have an understanding of boundaries. If you are so busy that you just feel rattled and you don't have any control over your day or your week or whatever, check your calendar and look and see all the things you're saying yes to that you
yeah.
probably don't need to
yeah,
say
right.
yes to.
Right.
Yeah.
And we also, we take on the responsibility a lot more often for other people than we should.
Oh, yes.
For sure. Even for our kids. You know, it's not your job to clean your kid's room when they're 8 years old. Right?
Yeah.
It's your kid's job
right.
to do that.
Right.
And so, but we like to feel like we're needed. Mm-hmm. We like to feel like we're in control of things. So we do take on more than we should, even with our husbands. That's a big problem.
So true.
I'm telling you.
For sure.
That you mean packing for my husband when he goes on a trip? Things like that?
I mean, yeah. You know. No.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That one. Uh-huh. Yes.
We're not trusting them to take care of our kids. I see that a lot. It's like, yeah. Oh, I'm so, thank you for babysitting the kids. And right. I'm like, oh, no.
That
no.
is not babysitting.
It's called parenting. It's called parenting. It's your job, too. Thank you.
Yeah. So, but we want that control. We want that feeling. And so we kind of do it to ourselves in a way.
Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. But for some reason, we have such a hard time, like, finding something we enjoy.
Yeah.
Right.
And every Thursday now, when I started having to give custody up of my child. I'm not going to say that was easy.
No, it's really, hard. Really it's hard. I've been there. It's very, well, we've all been there.
All been there.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, you got Christmas, the holidays. I was a mess.
Is he local?
So
kind of Metroplex-ish.
He's in Napa.
Has a rental, no.
he didn't take a Napa.
He has a rental prop. He has a rental house here. And then him and his wife, she lives in Virginia. So they fly back and forth a lot. And so he's here when he's here, and he's there when he's there. But
she's like, never more on that. Period.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
And scene. No, I'm
just
kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exit stage left. Thank you.
But that, you know, Christmas, that was really hard because she went to Virginia, and I've never been apart from her on Christmas. And I was a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, what do you do when you don't have Santa at your house?
Right.
You know, and luckily for me, I was able to go, okay, but I still have two nieces that I love and
right.
I love to spoil.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are my heart. Like, I love those girls. And so I got to go over there and see what they got.
Yeah.
Right.
But that, again, women get stuck on that
it's
so
hard.
Much.
My ex-husband was in Iowa, and my kids were 2 and 4
oh, gosh.
When we first got divorced. And so that was really, really hard. But but then I met my husband now.
Uh-huh.
So I was only single for really about 2 years. And then when I met Brad, we used to fly to Florida over the holidays. And I'm like, this is how you get through.
We go
sitting on the beach because I'll take that. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
We go to Florida.
That is true, though. That's what happened. Last year, I was having a really hard time giving her away.
Yeah, it's hard.
Because that's what you feel like. You feel like I'm just giving her away. It's still her dad.
Yeah.
He's still taking care of her.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like, okay, I'm giving my child up. So, but then I was like, maybe I could look at this from a different perspective.
Yeah.
I'm like, what if I wanted to do for a while that I haven't been able to do because I've been a mom and a wife? And I'm like, concerts. So then I was doing a lot of real estate stuff. It was going really well. So I had some disposable income. So I would call my friends and be like, you guys want to go see Pink?
Right.
You guys want to go see Justin Timberlake?
Right.
Let's take a weekend trip. I got to go see a friend of mine that lived in Nashville. Like, I was like, let's take advantage of this time because
I just want to applaud because I love this liberating, independent, like new self that you've found. I mean, you probably were always a little bit like that, but you could have gotten
stuck. When you were married?
Just liberated.
I think for me, I can say for myself, I was not. I was so like committed to my marriage and my husband and my family that I would have never have done that when I was married.
Well, I didn't get married till I was 30.
Yeah.
So I had a whole decade before that of being single. And I think that helped a lot because I didn't get married when I was 18 and have kids when I was 19.
Right,
and
that's
what I've been my whole life.
Yeah.
So I kind of fell back into it. I lost like 60 pounds. I was like, okay, let's go. Let's go do this. You know, let's go have fun. But I tried as much as I can to embrace that.
Yeah.
And I did. And the other thing I noticed was my daughter, after about a few months, she goes, Mom, I just feel really guilty whenever I'm not here. And I'm like, why? And she goes, because I just know you're sitting here being sad. And I'm like, okay, I love you
right.
and I miss you, but I am not sitting here being sad
right.
when you're not gone. She's like, really? What do you do? And I'm like,
all kinds
I
of
go
stuff.
To concerts.
Yeah.
I go out with my friends. She goes, well, that sounds fun. And I said, I know. And so I didn't realize she was harboring that guilt over leaving me too. And when I told her, you have a life, but I had a life.
Yeah.
She felt better about leaving.
Yeah.
And I talk about that in the book. I talk about not raising your kids with your own emotional baggage.
Well, yeah. Because it becomes, you know, their baggage.
Yeah, and it absolutely does.
They own it, right? They love you. They want you to be happy. And if they see that you're unhappy, then it does kind of stifle their own independence and stifle them from wanting to go experience life.
That's right.
Because they want to care for you.
They want to care for us. And, and my emotions as her mother is mine to bear.
Yeah, right. That's right.
It's not hers to bear.
No. That's right.
I bear her emotions and teach her how to handle her own emotions so that when she becomes an adult, she's independent.
Yes.
And it's so easy to just not do that.
I love it's that. So there's so many married and unmarried. This isn't even like, this is just a parental thing. Women that share their, I'm going to call it woes, like their challenges and their problems and things like that with their children.
The drama
drives me insane. Yeah. It's like, I don't care if your daughter is 17 years old. She doesn't need to hear about your marital problems.
No, she doesn't.
Like, that's their dad or stepdad maybe, but they don't need to be involved.
Right. No. And there's a certain line between, I want to be, you know, open and transparent with my child about maybe experiences that I've had in my life so that she can learn from them.
Sure. Right.
But my emotional, whatever I'm feeling at the time is not my, is
they're
not her job.
They're not your sounding board for that moment.
Exactly. Yes. I actually use the word sounding board in my chapter about this in the book. And I talk about how you cannot do that to your kids.
No.
And if they're like, and you can tell, and I had to go through, how do you tell when you're doing it? Because a lot of women will talk about how the kids aren't coming around as much. They always are really angry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that they can kind of see that their kids are just not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, let's think about how you are when you're around them. Are you talking all the time about what their dad did to you?
Yeah.
Are you always saying what a jerk he was?
Yeah.
When they come back and they share that they had a good weekend with their dad and their new stepmom, do you say, well, of course y'all can because he makes more money and she makes more money and we don't have any money and, you know, he doesn't pay any child support.
This book needs to be out there for everyone. This is such common stuff and it's just things you just can't do because it's your issue, it's your situation, not theirs.
No, and it takes a lot of biting your tongue.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of putting your own feelings aside.
But that's being a parent.
I saw one woman and she said, one of the responses to one of the ladies, she said, well, if they ever chose him over me, we would have a problem. And I was like, oh gosh, don't do that to your kids.
Yeah.
I know.
Don't be that selfish.
I know.
Really? Like I was so disappointed and but it happens so much. And I don't even think that women really realize that they're doing it. I think that they're doing it and because it's their own emotional way of
reacting.
Well,
I think they justify it to themselves,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest thing.
I'm right and he's wrong.
Right.
That, and I'll, you know, you guys may disagree, and please do, but men who don't pay child support, women will often say, well, he didn't pay child support, so there he's not going to see the kids. I'm like, listen, here's the thing.
Right.
I get it. It's not right. It's not cool.
And it's not easy.
It sucks. But the kids cannot be punished for the misdeeds of the father.
Right.
And if he wants to see them and they want to see him and it's a healthy environment, you got to let them go.
That I use that exact example in the book. When I talk about the legalities, when you start discussing custody and you start discussing money and all that stuff, obviously men are responsible just as women are to raise their kids financially. However, you're not responsible for their choices.
That's right.
Okay? You're also not their conscience. Yeah. You're not the one that's supposed to tell them what they are and are not supposed to do. But you're also not responsible for the relationship to their children.
And
they're
responsible. And how impactful is that relationship with the kids and their father? It's like, look at kids whose fathers walked out or don't want to see them or don't want to be around, and how impactful that is. Don't do that to your kids.
Right.
No.
I mean, that's just, you're robbing them of positive experience that could actually help them be emotionally healthy.
And every time you say something negative about their other parent, you're inadvertently saying something negative about this kid.
Yes.
Because your kid is part of that parent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that's why, and I won't say anything negative about my upbringing, but we'll just say that it wasn't ideal in that space. And it was like that, you know, it's really hard when you come from a place like that to not have a bias against that parent,
mm-hmm.
right? So for me, I know going through a divorce and being with Chloe's dad and being married and all that stuff, like, I have to go And you're so right. Like, you hit it right on the, like, you hit the nail right on the head. It's like, you have to know that that's your emotional response in saying something. But I even go one step above and I say, you know, she says anything about her dad, I'm like, don't you have such a great dad? Mm-hmm. You have such mm-hmm. a great dad. Like, yeah. your dad loves you so much and your dad is this and your dad's that. And it's genuine because he really is a wonderful
that's
father.
That's the trick right there.
Yeah. yeah.
It's not lying.
Right.
You don't lie.
Right.
And I talk about in the book, I say, and you said healthy, and that's the difference. Mm-hmm. If there's an unhealthy situation going on
right.
over there, if
right.
they're not taking care of that child,
right.
their child doesn't have a bed at their house,
right.
stuff like that,
right.
that's
a whole other
story. Whole
situation.
Other story.
And if they're not being a good dad,
yeah.
if they're not showing up in ways that they're supposed to be,
right.
you have to be really careful about telling the kids, but he loves you anyway.
Right.
Or he, because there has to be a certain level of
honesty,
sincerity, genuine.
Yeah.
This is
yeah,
what's actually
I agree
happening.
With that.
But the kids, and I talk about this in the book, that you have to teach kids that life is disappointing.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's how it is. If their dad is not being a great dad, then we talk about how we can overcome him not being a great dad.
Well, and you talk about the behaviors, not the person.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to give them the responsibility as kids, depending on their age, but you have to teach them... If you're not happy with your dad, we need to teach you how you can talk to your dad about
right.
it. Yeah. I'm not going to talk to your dad about it.
Right.
Unless I need to be legally, you know, coming in between you because there's an unsafe situation.
Yeah.
This is between y'all.
Right.
Whether we were divorced or not, this is between you and this other parent.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but we have to teach kids that, mm-hmm. you know, instead of just... lying to them.
Right.
Instead of, you know...
Sugarcoating it
or saying, it's okay.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. Will you talk to him for me? No.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
So with that then, that brings up a really good question. Or brings up a question that I'm thinking about for me right now. So when that happened, how was Avery affected? And how did you get through that? Like, what are some of the questions that she would ask you? And how did you respond? And like, because so Chloe's going through this thing right now where she sees there's a family that I've known the girl since like high school. And they send their family photo, right? So that it's the mom, the dad, and their two kids.
Mm.
And Chloe's angry. She's real angry at this picture. And so she started, like, crossing them out, and she's like, I don't like that picture. I don't like Charlie. Look at Charlie. She looks so happy, and her family looks so happy. And I'm like, there's some pain there,
yeah.
right? So, like, I'm like, oh, I feel so...
Like, what do I do with that?
Inadequate to
but
be
I
able
knew,
to answer. Yeah.
And I know the feeling.
Right.
And then, like, it brings it up to me, and then I get emotional because I'm like... Damn it, man. Like, I've been there. I was that kid, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, like, healthily... I ask her questions, and I try not to have an emotional response, but it just makes me want to cry because I'm like, I feel you, man.
Yeah, well, just validating her own feelings about it is probably as good as it can get.
Yeah.
I go back to emotional maturity and emotional immaturity, and part of the reason, and I feel like this is either a culture thing or something, I don't know, we don't know how to handle our own feelings and emotions because our parents probably never taught us how to do it very well.
Yeah.
And when I think about like, you know, over the last, you know, 100 years and, you know, going through the depression, people come back from war. Like it was just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get over it.
Right.
So nobody even talked about that. We didn't have mental health.
Sweep it under the rug. I think it didn't
happen. Exactly.
Yes.
We don't talk about it outside this house.
No.
And we pretend like everything's fine.
It's a private matter.
And then we wonder why 67-year-old men are having affairs and leaving their families because they don't even know how to say I'm unhappy.
Right.
So I am real big on like, I'm going to teach my child how to have feelings and that it's okay to have feelings and to identify her feelings and validate her feelings.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell her you're right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I can just say,
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. How, you know, and one of the things that Avery did, I got her into play therapy, which helped me so much because kids don't know how to say, I'm mad.
No.
I'm bitter.
Right.
I'm
angry. Right.
Like, they don't even know those words. But they do know how to cross out pictures and they know how to have Barbies fight with each other. And so when you see that kind of stuff, kudos to you for even noticing that she's got some pain underneath there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And just going, well, you know, just asking more leading questions, letting her tell you, and then going, ugh. I hear you.
Yeah.
And you have every right to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then what she'll start to do then is she'll start to trust her own instincts.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that women don't do enough, mm-hmm. in my opinion, is they second guess themselves all the time because
100%.
People tell them don't cry, don't be upset, don't be bitter, don't be angry,
right.
and all this stuff. So then they just try to push it deep down.
Yeah.
And they end up not trusting their own instincts. But you know what? She has a right to feel that way.
Yeah.
Her family is not together anymore in the same way.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you're even going, oh, I feel you. You know?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And she looked at me and she's like, well, Charlie has a little brother and I want a little brother. And then she looks at me like, are you going to have a baby? I'm like, all of these questions, I feel like I'm being interrogated.
But you know what that tells me is that she's comfortable enough with you talk about that, which is a big deal.
Yeah. There's no question.
And that she's already in tune with her own. How old is she?
Four, dude.
I'm telling you.
She's next level.
Four going on, like 12.
The things that she said, someday she'll come to me and she'll, we start. And we're very, self-aware. So she'll be frustrated.
Good one.
Yeah. She'll be really frustrated or whatever. And I'm like, hey, man, are you just having a bad moment? Are we having a bad day? Are we having a bad hour? She's like, you know what, Mom? I'm just having a really tough time right now. And I'm like, whatever you need. Do whatever. The other day we came home from the store and she was really frustrated at me because I didn't buy her something. So she just went in her room, took a moment, slammed the door naturally.
Yes.
I mean, she's still a girl.
For sure.
slammed the door
and then came back out and I was like,
we good?
Did you take it? She's like, I took a moment and I'm okay now.
Holy moly.
I know. Four.
I don't think you have anything to worry about with that child.
Or a lot. Because she's really smart.
She wears her emotions on her sleeve and there's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
At least you know what you're dealing with.
I know. And she embraces it. And she's, but like the picture made me want to cry because my parents were divorced and I never went into getting married thinking that I would get divorced.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody does.
I would hope not.
Right. You know, I think I'm going to sit this one in for about 2 years and then I'm just going to cut it off. We're just going to cut it
out. Let's see. We spent $10,000 on the wedding. So that gives me about 9 years worth of marriage. And
oh my gosh.
Exactly. Right. So yeah. So it was upsetting for me because, you know, and then I think about it too. And you know, my situation is definitely different than yours in that if I wanted to, and this sounds so crappy of me, I'm gonna knock on wood. If I wanted to, I could go back to her dad.
Mm.
But the issues that we have are so,
they're still very real. They're still relevant.
And they're big and they're not something that I could compromise on. So it's like, you know, that's not an option for me. Like, will she ever have a sibling? Maybe if her dad remarries somebody else, you know, and I don't think that I want to have any more kids, but we never know what could happen. You know what I mean?
That's a good attitude to have. You never know what's going to happen. Because you know what? Things might change tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. I am not one of these people that thinks that things can't change.
Right. Yeah.
You don't hope for it. You don't wait around for it.
Right.
But if it happens, and that ever happens where you can get back together, fantastic.
Right.
But in the meantime, you're able to co-parent together.
Yes.
You are able to be happy when he's happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that, you know, having divorced parents isn't the most ideal situation.
Right.
But if you are going to be in that situation, at least she has two parents that care about each other.
For sure.
And that's a very, very big deal. Because, mine is different in that way, too. Like, all the divorced women that I know currently, we're the ones that made the decision to leave the marriage.
Yeah.
And so they do have that option if they really wanted to.
Right.
I didn't.
Yeah.
And at the time, I kind of looked on that as a bad thing because I was being rushed through so many things.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like for about, I don't know, a year, it was like a kick in the stomach every week.
Mm.
Something else I'd find out. Something else that happened that I had to get over. But now I look back on it as a huge blessing because, number one, I didn't have an option to go back to her dad.
Yeah.
This choice was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, you know, fuss over it.
Right.
And two, it wasn't a prolonged torture.
Right.
It just happened.
It wasn't five miserable years.
Exactly.
We're like, it was on the fast track.
Yeah. We're just going to beat you down and then build you back up real quick. And so I kind of look at it now and I'm like, that was kind of a blessing for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not in any place to want to date at all. Like, not to say that I won't.
How long has this been?
So 17, we got divorced. Yeah. July 2018, it was final.
Okay.
So it hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
And I went through divorce care at my church twice. I wrote the book.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you recommend some sort of group or some, not necessarily therapy. I'm a big advocate for therapy, but definitely some support group of some kind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, divorce care is, it's a religious group,
right.
And it is, you know, based on the Bible, there's really not a whole lot of other divorce groups out there. Like, that's really what is the big one. Yeah. And what I do like about it is that it validates all the feelings you're going through.
Yeah, sure.
And the first time that I took it, I wasn't paying attention to anybody else in the class. The second time I took it, I was paying attention to everybody else because I had already been out of my situation for a while. Some of these people still hadn't even gotten divorced yet.
Yeah.
And when I see people make that connection, when they talk about in the first class, it's like a tornado hit your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And they all go, yes, yes. Like, they're just, like, agreeing.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is it's making them feel like I'm right to feel this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is so important.
Yeah, for sure.
And then to hear that you're not the only one. Because here's the thing. When someone cheats on you and has an affair, it is the biggest betrayal and the biggest rejection you could ever feel in your entire life.
Yeah.
And most of the people that are getting divorced have to deal with that. Infidelity is a big problem.
Yeah.
And so, but you feel like I wasn't good enough. Well, now you see, no, all these other women are beautiful too. Yeah. All these other women are great and strong and wonderful. Clearly I'm not the issue here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. I highly suggest finding a support group, either divorce care or online. There's tons of Facebook groups that are very, very helpful because you see people's stories and that's really important. Yeah. So,
well,
yeah.
Yeah. So many things.
I know. I want to read the book. I wish you would have brought one.
You did?
Yeah. Yay! Okay, cool. Cause I want to get a picture of it.
Yeah. I started reading it, the PDF that you sent me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was just like nodding my head.
Where do you get it? On Amazon?
You can get it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's either ebook or you can get a soft cover.
Okay. And you're recording your like audiobook right now?
I'm trying
working
to.
Working on it?
Oh, it's so boring. Like, I love my book, but I had to take a step back because I felt like I was just reading the same pages over and over when I was going through the editing process. And then I was reading them again. Like, I'm like, I gotta stop.
Oh my God. This sucks.
So, but now I go back and it's been, let's see, I finished it in February. I wrote that book in like 4 months.
I was going to say, like, how cathartic was that for you to be going through this whole process and then to write a book about it in the midst of it?
Right?
It wasn't like you pumped the brakes.
Because you're reliving it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It was your therapy.
It was my therapy. I did it on purpose because I wanted to remember what it feels like, because the more time that passes, the better I feel and the less I can remember.
Yeah. Mm. And it's like when you're writing it and you're going through it again, it's like going through it again, but then it's like a sped up healing process.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. And what's funny is like anytime that anything rears its ugly head again, like if there's a situation, I go back to what I wrote in the book.
Yeah.
And I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, I said that.
I love that you just said that. I am, if April will, I hope, attest to this, but I love to share advice and, you know, just good ways of doing things in life and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But man, I catch myself doing things that I would tell somebody else not to do.
Oh,
and I'm like, do you hear yourself speaking to other people with all your great advice?
That's me with the cookies today. That's why I couldn't eat the cookies today.
So frustrating.
I'm like, I tell people all the time, don't eat the cookies. And I'm like making cookies and I'm like, don't eat the cookies.
Yeah. Following your own advice. Yeah. It's really tough. I find that whenever women are on there and they're talking about dating.
Yeah.
And they're basically explaining every red flag. And they're like, what do you ladies think I should do? I'm like, well, let's go back to yesterday. Whenever you answered that question for someone else. And what did you tell that person?
That's good.
They're like, yeah. You're right, you know?
You're like, remove the emotion. Remove the emotional attachment.
I mean, we are still
pragmatically.
Yeah.
Don't be.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, so you've been, so your divorce hasn't been final for a year yet, but you're kind of, you're on your
you're
way to a year, right?
Yeah.
So, and you're in no headspace to date, which is great. It's a great place to be in.
I love, right now, I am really loving my independence.
Good for you.
I love being able to do what I want and not have to compromise.
Answer to anybody.
I don't have to
answer live by
to
my
anybody.
Own schedule.
Mm-mm. I'm like, I'm going to go to the movies today. I'm going to go watch whatever movie I want to go watch.
Right. And eat whatever snack I want to eat
that's
by
exactly
myself.
Right.
That's funny.
And if I want to gain 5 pounds, I'll gain it.
Right.
And I won't feel guilty about it.
Right. And then I'll go to the gym for a month after that and then lose that 5 pounds.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still... Right now, Avery's well-being is very important
to me. I was going to ask how she's doing through all of this.
She's doing phenomenally well.
Okay, good.
She is very, very, she's a very capable, really understanding, really empathetic kid. And she and I do a lot of talking, and I would like to think that I'm a good mother, and I'm in tune with her a lot. So we have a very, close relationship in terms of, you know, we can talk about things.
Yeah.
She can talk to me about things. And that gives her a great deal of confidence, which I think is amazing. And, but we're still, you know, she's still eight. And
right.
she's still going through the, I don't like to sleep all the way through the night by myself.
Right.
That's an eight-year-old thing.
Yeah.
Whether we're divorced
Dude,
or
that's
not.
Eight?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My,
oh,
kids
yeah.
Are, my kid's four.
They go in phases.
Last forever.
They go in phases. Like, I just, my stepdaughter, I remember she was going through that phase. And then all of a sudden, she turned like nine.
And it was over.
And I never saw her again.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, I just want to stay in my bed and never get out of it.
Like, so what's that like, too? Like, having to say goodbye to two children that were essentially yours.
Yeah, I was going to... How old are they?
They are 17 and 14.
Man, so you raised them. You helped raise them.
Yeah. Fortunately for me, their mother is amazing.
Oh, cool. Good.
And she and I have created a relationship.
Oh,
and
good.
She is, you know, she's like, you've been in their lives for 9 years.
Yeah.
They love you.
Right.
And you love them.
Right.
And we knew that it was going to be different. It's not going to be the same.
Right.
Fortunately, they're growing up. And, you know, as they get older, I started embracing that they're going to have other things going on besides just being the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I, so it's like, I know that they're busy anyway.
Yeah.
And so, but I am able to, like, they have phones, I can text them, I can talk to them. I just went and saw the oldest one, he's in band, I just went and saw him perform. We got to go see him and my parents and I and Avery. But she and I know they're each other's siblings.
Right. Yeah.
They're brothers and sisters. So it's like... We're never going to just not.
Right.
But, you know, so that has been, oh my gosh, just tremendous.
That's good.
That she's that way.
Were you guys, like, on good terms when you were married?
We did not speak to each other. Hardly
wow.
at all.
Wow.
And when the day came that I found out some stuff.
Yeah.
I realized that the kids were getting kind of pulled into stuff and she didn't know.
Yeah.
What was going on. I assumed she didn't know. I texted her and I said, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, but I think that you and I need to talk. And I remember she said, I've been praying that you would text me.
Aww.
And so from that moment on, it was just like...
Full, yeah. The lines of communication are open.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And good. I am so grateful that she's that way because it's just been really nice.
Yeah.
To be a part of it. I can still see the kids' pictures. You know, we're friends on Facebook now.
Oh, that's
so
good.
It's like I get to see what's going on. You
and
know,
it's Avery's brother and sister. Like, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big deal. And, so
that she's known her whole life. Like,
right.
Right.
It, yes.
That's been her family
yeah,
her whole
right.
life.
Yeah.
And then to like, you know, just think that that could have potentially just gone away.
I remember, and this is another thing that I think that has helped Avery, as gross as it sounds, but, because they had me as a stepmother.
Yeah.
And we had a good relationship. I remember she was like, this was, let's see, he left in November, I think in August of that year. So he was, so the relationship that they were in started in like a year before that.
Okay.
So Avery in August, 2 months before he left, she said, when am I going to get my stepmother?
Oh, snap.
And
she was like, never.
She's like, when am I going to get, because she's like, they have a cool stepmother. Why don't I get a cool stepmother?
Right.
And I just remember he said, well, never, honey. And I think back to that time and I'm like,
I wanted to ask that and I didn't know if it was inappropriate. So just shut me down if it is. But like the red flags now that you're looking back, obviously in the minute or the moment you didn't recognize them, but
I did.
Now looking back.
I did. And I actually brought it up to him several times.
Yeah.
I said, there's something going on. There's something weird. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but there's something going on. And I won't share all the details
yeah,
of,
yeah.
like, things that I noticed, but I did notice.
Oh.
It's just he would lie. He would lie. He wouldn't talk to me about it. But I did know that there was something going on. And then the week that he was out of town, he traveled a lot. And
yeah.
so he and I, he
was always the travelers.
Man, you're right about that. And he would always message me. And he was just like, oh, I miss you so much. You know, I can't wait to see you. I hate being here. Or I would travel with him. And that week, something was wrong. It was
yeah.
just wrong. Like, I didn't hear from him at all. And I just got really, really angry. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. He was there for a week.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what's going on, but you need to find time to call me today.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on.
Yeah.
And then the next morning is when he texts me and said, I'm not coming back. I want a divorce. As he got on the plane.
Through a text message, y'all. A text
post
message.
Berger left a post-it. on my monitor.
I cannot tell you how many times I thought about that scene.
I mean,
because she showed it to the cop, and he was like, man.
"All right,
yes. This is a grown man. I can't even.
I remember that scene, and the cop goes, "That's not true." And she goes, like, "Bam!" And he goes, "Oh my god, you can go ahead and go.
You're off. You get off."
At that point, I know this is not where your heart was, but at that point, it's like, "Oh my god, please leave, please," because if you can't even call me, I'm gonna need you out of my life.
So, and this was, I mean, this was your marriage, right? And like,
we were in high school, boyfriend and girlfriend,
and that's what I was gonna say. Like, and you didn't get married until you were 30, so like. You know, you go through your 20s and you're single. Maybe you had a couple of relationships, whatever. But this is your marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, big deal. Jenna got married. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? Where does that even leave you, like, for relationships going forward? I mean, will you just, like, have a 47-point checklist? Or like, you know what I mean? Because that's what I think about, too. I'm like, and I got married really young. So I was the opposite. I got married in my prime. And I was so young and so hot.
Wait, how old are you?
Wasted.
How old are you?
31.
Oh, girl. But
I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I got married.
You're in your prime right now.
I got married when exactly. I was in my early 20s. So, like, now I do feel like I'm in my prime because I'm pursuing my goals. I'm working. I'm, you know, momming. Like, I'm doing all this stuff. So, yeah, like, I have a lot of checkpoints mm-hmm. that they're going to have to meet for me to even consider, like, a partner or dating or whatever. And that's a really nice place to be in.
Very much.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I am never going to say I'm never going to get married again. Right. Because I don't know what God has planned for my life.
Right.
What I will say is whoever it's going to be is going to be my partner, is not going to be somebody I depend. I had to look back, and in the book I actually talk about this, where you look back on your relationship mm-hmm. and you look back on why you married the person in the first place.
Right.
Because no matter how much I want to act like, oh, it just happened overnight, mm-hmm. I saw things from a long time ago.
Yeah.
I just didn't put too... I didn't trust my instincts.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't... I was,
listen to your
I was
intuition. 30.
I was like, I need to be married. I need to have kids. You know, all this stuff. So I loved him completely. But I didn't... I was ignoring a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I had to go back and take responsibility for my own part in it. And so when I think about other men doing that to me, it's never even the thought I have in my head, because I'm like, you kind of did it to yourself.
Right.
You should have kind of taken a little bit more time, seen if how we could have progressed, you know, a little bit better. So now, but I also realized that I was kind of codependent and I was really depending on him to make me happy.
Yep.
So now that I know that I'm happy by myself, I just know whoever's going to be there is going to be an addition to my life. It's not going to take away from it.
I love that. I know, wasn't that perfect? My God. Well, and I say this a lot to women and friends that I have that are going through things, and even to my own family. If you are looking for validation, for happiness, for any sort of anything from someone external, you got to turn that within, because the only person who can really truly make you happy is yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you really are going to struggle making somebody else happy. Not that that's your job.
Right.
But just being happy as equals, if you're looking for them to fill some void.
Right.
Yes. The loneliness part of it, like, that's a lot of the thing that I think women really struggle with is the loneliness. And also when you get left, it's finding somebody that makes you feel not left anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I want to find somebody that's going to love me completely and be there for me all the time.
Right.
And I'm like, nobody does that all the time. Like, you have to have realistic expectations.
Right. Yeah. They're still going to be a human, which means they're imperfect.
Right.
Well, that's why you've got to fill, not you, but women going through this, you've got to fill yourself up, and you've got to feel fulfilled and happy and all of those things on your own.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because as women, like I said earlier, we're self-sacrificial. So like when we see a man who's like going after his dreams and chasing his, you know, his goals, I wanted to say, not admiration, something with an A, when he's accomplishing things and all of that stuff, you know what I mean? We're like, oh wow, like, you know, he's really doing it or whatever. But then when we see women, we're like, but what, like, what does she not do? You know what I mean? Like, oh, she's not married, or she doesn't.
She
have
must
kids,
not be a very good mom.
She doesn't do this, or whatever.
She must not be a very good mom. Right. Or she's then probably
I'm sure
a bad
that people
wife.
Probably.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
People
have y'all seen the show Working
me.
Moms on Netflix?
No,
oh,
but
you
I probably
need to
should
totally watch it.
Is it good?
It talks a lot about that.
Oh, for sure, watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just the mom guilt of all that stuff. I hate the word mom guilt, but
it's so true, though.
It's so true.
I can't tell you how many great jobs I left over the last 20 years because of mom guilt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm not home enough, or because I, you know, I'm a workaholic and I like to be at the office. I just do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm, man, I would do it for like a year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years. And then I'd be like, oh my God, I'm missing everything. I'm the worst mom in the world. I quit.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was a thing for like a whole 10 years in my career.
We do it to ourselves, but then we also listen to external voices or we worry about what other people are saying outside. And instead of just like not care, like,
yeah,
especially me, like I try really, really hard to just like shut it all out.
Yeah.
Because I can't literally sit around and think about what other people are saying about me. I really don't care.
Y'all are making so many good things that I want to talk about. But like one thing that you said was finding your confidence in yourself. If you don't even know what color you like the best.
Right.
How are you ever going to know how to be in a relationship?
Exactly. Right?
And it's like, so when I see these women that say, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to go when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you don't even know what restaurant you like to eat at,
right?
How
start
are you going to be in a relationship?
Well, it's like, start there.
If a guy asks you out and he says, what's your favorite place? And you don't even know.
Exactly. Because you know what's
oh
going to happen?
Just whatever you like.
Now you're right back into a situation where you're just doing everything that the man wants you to do.
Yeah. Right.
And what fun is that to
not,
be in a relationship?
Not
with?
Fun at all.
Not fun at all. No. On either side.
Right.
So yeah, it's, you have to know who you are.
You have to
and
find yourself.
That takes time and it takes, you know,
exploration.
It
yes.
does.
And work.
Intentional
yes.
effort
yeah.
to actually find out who you are
yeah.
and why you do the things that you do. Because
yeah.
you got into that relationship for a reason.
Yeah.
And you have to look back and think about that. And then you have to think about, how am I going to be as a mother?
Right.
How am I going to be intentional as a mother? And one thing that I think, and I'm in an entrepreneurial group on Facebook, and I see the mom guilt thing come up
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I don't know when we started thinking that it's we're not being good examples to our children by working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, my daughter sees me working all the
yeah,
time.
Mine too.
And she's a
mine
part
did
of
too.
It with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like being in here. You know, you see this equipment. Mom does this stuff.
Right.
You know, this is what she does. Your daughter's here. She
right.
sees you. There is value in that for her.
Right.
And she sees a woman become financially independent. She
yes.
works because she makes her own money.
Yes.
Like, she has her own interests. She does things that she enjoys, and
yes.
I get to see her.
Yes.
I don't know why we think being at home with them is the best thing
I love
for
this.
Every single person.
You're, yeah. like, filling up my bucket right now.
And that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to belittle or discredit.
Absolutely not.
You know, it's the same
no.
thing. Like, women who want to stay at home. I have two good friends of mine that are stay-at-home moms, and they're fabulous, and they love it. And you know what? Success is defined by what they're doing because they're raising successful humans.
Because they're doing what they want, not what they feel guilty to do.
Right.
That's the trick.
That
right.
is mm-hmm. the trick. That is exactly the trick. So it's like, if that's your choice and that's what you want to
right.
do, yes.
Do it. Do it.
Yes.
Just make
but
sure
if
you're living
doing
your purpose.
It, yeah. But you don't really want to be doing it.
Right. That was me.
Or you think it's better for them
yeah.
that you're around them 24
right.
hours a day.
Yeah, but if
right.
you're miserable, who are you benefiting?
And exactly. And not only that, but how are you, if you're around them 24 hours a day
yeah.
and you're not doing anything to make yourself a better person,
right?
Then what are you teaching
what
them?
What value right. are you really adding? Here's the thing too. My kids, 25 and 23 now, and both
wow,
of them.
Really?
Yes.
I would not, I would
I know,
not
look
guess
at her.
Not looking at you.
I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, doesn't she look great?
Yes.
She looks amazing.
I'm actually nice. Babysitting my grandson tonight all night.
Your grandmother?
No.
He's
3 months old and it's the cutest thing, but.
Oh my gosh. Now
it's
you get
so
to be on the other end of that.
Yeah.
I know.
You're like, oh, he's so cute. Now take him back.
I know.
And bring him back next weekend. And I just want to watch him all
yeah. But I will say, my own kids have both said, first of all, they have incredible work ethics.
Yes.
Both of them.
Right.
And have. Well, first
right.
of all, when they turn 16 in our house,
yeah.
you get the job.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You get a job. Unless mm-hmm. unless you're, we told them, unless you're involved in something at school that's going to like not allow you the time
right.
to have a job, that's fine too.
Right.
But if you're not going to be in activities, you're going to have a job.
Yeah.
So my kids have an incredible work ethic, and both of my kids have said, we learned that from watching you.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So yeah, that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
okay,
are
I felt
girls,
guilty.
Boys?
Both
girls.
Both girls.
And yeah, okay, I felt guilty and I did quit some jobs and you know, that 10-year span, but I always had one and I always worked and I always But I was always available too. You know, if they needed me, I was there. They knew that.
Yeah, just because you're working doesn't mean you're not there.
Right. I think that's a misnomer. I think that's what a lot of women fear.
Yes.
And that's why they don't want to go back to work, or they're scared of working, is because they think, oh, crap, I'm not going to be around when they get out of school. And, you know, who are they going to share their day with?
Right.
Well, guess what? They'll share their day with you. First of all, there are phones.
Right.
We have phones.
Thank goodness.
So my kids would call me, you know, every day when school got out and share, you know, all about the day.
Yeah.
And of course, I would come home. You know, I did live here.
Right.
So I would come home every evening, and we did, all of us would get hungry. And so we would have to eat together. So we did have meals, you know, and I think these are things that some people might forget.
Yeah.
Like, you 100%. Still live there. Right. Like,
you're not just the ghost that comes in and out that they don't ever see.
The ghost that does laundry.
Well, it's boundaries again, right? It's like, you don't sell your soul to where you're working. You remember that you do have a family, and there has to be some boundaries around home. There has to be some boundaries around work, but you really can do both.
You can. My friend and I, she is now a single mom. She has 3 kids, and she and I talk about this all the time. She's going to listen to this and go, oh my gosh, this is conversations we have every single day, because we were talking about, I think in the 9-to-5 situation, when you do work a 9-to-5 job, it is a rush at night. You feel like you're rushed, and you don't feel like you have any quality time with the kids where you can actually sit there and spend time with them. And I think that's why women feel that way.
For sure.
Yeah. And so instead of saying, well, I'm going to take an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes and we're going to read a book together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They feel like they need to be there all the time. Right. When really you just need the quality moments.
It's quality over quantity.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And so it's one of the reasons why I personally would rather be an entrepreneur and run my own businesses so that
the flexibility.
But you know what? Sometimes I can't go to field trips.
Right.
Sometimes I can't go to have lunch with you. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes your grandparents are going to pick you up from school.
Right. You know, here's the thing. Okay. Right. Ask my kids if they remember the things that I missed at school. Because I hit 100%. More than I missed, right? Now, did I go to everything? No, I couldn't. I had a job. Right. And I had an 8-to-5-er, right? Or 9-to-5-er, whatever. So I didn't hit it all. But ask me if they remember that.
Right. They're probably in therapy right now going,
I bet you they are. That's why they're not here right now. They're in therapy. You know what? This is so off topic, but I have to call attention to this. Homework.
Oh.
You know what? There has to be something. This drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Teachers send kids home with homework that takes, number one, an hour to complete. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Don't lie. Y'all don't remember any of that crap from school. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
It doesn't matter even if we did, because they don't even teach them the same stuff anymore.
No. True. So here's the thing. So
even if we remembered and we wanted to help our kids with their homework.
And in all honesty, the majority of people do work, right? Yeah. The majority.
Yes. Yeah.
So we are robbing these kids of good quality family time.
By having homework.
Because you're sitting at a table. Now you're not sitting there reading a book or having a lovely discussion around your day. You're fighting because they don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. You don't even know what to do. And everybody taking their pencil and poking it into the table because they're not even frustrated.
Oh, we had the conversation about
it's got to be addressed because it's robbing kids of quality family conversations, time, connection.
I agree.
And creating tense and just awful, awful situations. Yeah. There's nothing worse than homework at the end of a day.
Don't get me started on that. And fortunately, we have a teacher that doesn't believe in homework either.
That's nice.
The only thing I like about homework is that it lets me see where my daughter is and how she's handling things.
Yeah.
But I had to get tutored on math. She's in the 2nd grade. And I'm like, oh, what you're doing right now, that's borrowing. She's like, what are you talking about? They don't call it borrowing anymore.
No.
They call it grouping. And I'm like,
I watched a video. You guys, seriously, I watched a video.
I'm not ready for this.
It was side by side, and somebody was grouping, and somebody was doing the normal thing,
Borrowing,
whatever. And
you mean the thing that makes more sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. And the grouping, literally, the video lasted, I think it was like 15 minutes, or maybe it was long.
Trying to explain it?
Well, just doing it that way, what they're teaching kids to do these days. And the normal way that we all learned was done in, like, I don't know, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Right.
So what he does is, it's so funny, he shows side by side. And so the one where he's, like, doing the normal way, he completes the thing, gets the answer, circles it, goes to the kitchen and starts cooking, makes a meal. And by the time it's done, the kids are just now wrapping up the new way.
And I'm pretty sure since it's math, they came up with the same number at the end. in, right?
Of course.
So you made it much harder to get to the same answer.
There's a name. They call it something. It's not even the grouping. They call it. There's a name for this new method, and I can't remember
it's
it.
Not it's not Common Core.
Yes.
Is it Common
Core? Yes, that's it. So dumb.
Well, oh my gosh. I've been doing, one of my friends, she does curriculum. So she works for a company that does curriculum for schools. Yeah. And they're changing a lot of the TEKS, which is the stuff that they have to teach and the task, all the testing.
Oh.
Because they just have to change it all the time, apparently. Right. I don't know why. Anyway, so one of the things that they're changing is that they're making teachers teach out of real books. Because I cannot tell you how little my daughter and I, when we're sitting there looking at a passage about otters, I don't care. I don't otters. Care. How am I supposed to get her interested in that?
Right.
When we're trying to get
Google.
Pictures. Pretty pictures.
And I'm Google. Like, okay. So, but at least now we're going to be able to read real stories.
Isn't it funny that we're teaching our kids all of these things that they can actually just Google in 3 seconds now, but we want them, but we're teaching that. It's so
But we want
dumb.
Them to take 15 minutes to do a math problem by teaching them grouping as
it's
opposed
like,
to
can't
borrowing.
We oh teach gosh. Like actual things that might, I don't know, contribute to something bigger, better?
Well, it's
I don't
like
know.
The podcast we had earlier. We recorded another podcast today, and the guy was from Iran, and he was saying that the school system that we have is really terrible for entrepreneurs. And it's like, at what point are we going to realize and say like, okay, cool. When are we going to teach taxes in school? When are we going to teach cooking in school?
Finance. Like,
when are we going to
how
teach
to manage
finance,
your finances?
Saving money.
No, how to fill out a W-2.
Doing laundry. Like,
this is a check. This is a bill.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
This is how you do that.
Your bills
right.
with... Said money from
this
your
is
checks.
The most complicated thing in the world called a credit report. Right. And this is how we decide how you're going to buy a house.
How about right. this? This is how you get access to your credit report.
Oh right. my gosh.
No, this is how you balance a
kids
checkbook.
Kids don't even know these things. No. But nobody has a checkbook anymore.
But still.
No.
But
yeah.
And they don't.
For
and
sure.
Then what? And then they pay $35 for each overdraft fee when they overdraft their bank account. Yeah. Of course they don't have checkbooks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And I think that one of the things that I hate, the passages, what they're teaching them is how to take tests.
Mm-hmm.
They're not teaching them for information.
No, it's
no.
lazy.
And but we want kids to know how to read, but they can't think critically.
No.
Because they're just told what to think.
Exactly.
So one of the things I'm like, being an entrepreneur, for example, you have to love to read. Because
yes.
if you don't know how to read, you can never learn anything new.
No.
And if you can't learn anything new, you can't try anything new.
Right. right.
And it's like, so I love the getting them more involved in the like,
yeah.
actually learning how to be a person.
Yes.
It's not just how to be a test
no,
taker.
It's about
yes.
How to build relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
Yes.
So, guys, I have bad news.
Are we at, like, an hour?
It's an hour and six, and I have...
oh, you have to leave.
I have things, like...
Like a life?
Well...
Oh, you're getting your grandson.
That's not till 4, but
oh, okay.
I bought some new purchases from Nebraska that I have to go pick up.
I still have never been there.
Just going to get
I don't
there.
Know why. It's just far away from where I live.
It's amazing, dude. You got to go.
Well,
it's like,
when
it's
I
across
move...
the street from my apartment.
It's a furniture city.
When I move
city.
Into my new place... I'll
yeah.
probably be shopping there.
Yes, it's a furniture city. It's pretty cool. So I have to go do some, anyway, some stuff.
Some fun stuff.
Some
yeah,
stuff. Right. So I do have to conclude, and I hate that because I love this conversation.
Me too. You should definitely come back.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm totally down.
And thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Yes,
say,
my pleasure.
And do me a favor, say your name, the book, and where people can get it again. Just
yes.
Okay, so my name is Jenna Pecor, but the book is actually Jenna Whitehead.
Okay.
So that's my married name. And then they can get it on Amazon. It's called
yep.
He Actually Left. Now What? There's a Facebook group. If you Google it, you'll find me somewhere.
Okay.
And you can actually order it through my website, which is jennapecor.com. My email is jenna@jennapecor.com. So
perfect.
You can find me everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't ask you and I want to ask before we sign off?
Yeah.
How am I this
what
beautiful?
Did your...
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I
no,
actually do want to know
how
that.
I maintain this flawless
yeah.
face.
Yes. What did your ex-husband say when he found out you wrote this book?
Ooh.
So I told him I was writing it.
Yeah.
And I said, you're more than welcome to read it. And he... he was like, I really hope that you sell a lot of books. I'm like, thank you. That's really kind of you. And then he wanted to teach me stories about like therapy words
oh.
and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that was in my book.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking.
Thanks. Bye.
I love it. I just had to ask.
So, like, and so we got away from this the last episode, but if you had anything to tell yourself at 20, what
gosh.
Would you tell yourself?
Well, you know why I didn't say it?
Why?
He was 24.
Oh yeah.
And he had already,
no,
and he had
I mean.
Already told himself like,
Dude, this guy was like so wise.
Listen
like,
oh to gosh. Episode 34.
He's no phenomenal. Joke.
Oh, I
phenomenal.
Totally will.
Yes.
No joke.
He was 24.
Yeah.
If you could tell yourself something 4 years ago.
But a couple of,
I know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
a couple of guests before that we forgot to
we
ask
did.
Them. But yeah. But
so
yeah.
If I could tell myself something at 20, if I could tell myself something at 20, it was that I was worth it.
Yeah.
That my feelings were valid.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell. That I was worth it and my feelings were valid. Because I spent my whole entire 20 second guessing every single feeling I had.
Yeah.
And it led to a lot of bad choices.
Yeah.
So that's what I've told myself.
That's good.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to check us out on all our social media. And please, please leave us a review.
Yeah, rate,
subscribe,
review, subscribe
to the podcast.
Yeah.
And all the things.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.